Good afternoon, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Smiling Jim Hobgood. Good to be back in the saddle, partner. Joining us in studio tonight is our research analyst, Michael Tusky, new to the show. It's good to have both of you on board. We're glad to be back for season two of Who's Talking. As you know, we go behind the scenes to take a closer look at the Wahoo athletic program. Jim and I will preview UVA's upcoming home opener with University of Richmond. We'll talk about Mike London's big challenge this year, quarterback Mark Verica's big opportunity as the starting fifth-year quarterback, and the importance of winning the first game. We're glad that you've joined us.
Yeah, this is Hobbo. Again, welcome back to Season 2, Volume 1 of Who's Talking. Who thought we weren't going to come back? Well, most people. I'm sorry. We're delighted to have you with us. We'll be joined shortly by UVA icon, former star running back, and radio analyst. I think he's beginning his 28th year. Frank Quayle will be joining us shortly. After that, Jay James of WIVINA Radio. He's also the voice of the UVA women's basketball team and host of Best Seat in the House on WINA in Charlottesville. After that, Dr. Jody Smith of West End Orthopedic will talk to us a little bit about some athletic injuries, in particular the number of concussions that happen to football players. And last but not least, Chris Horn, the UVA or the Sabre recruiting analyst, will talk about where Virginia stands this year on the recruiting wars with Coach London and his staff in their first real recruiting season. There are several ways to follow the show, and Frank will tell you right now.
Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to send their questions and comments either to Facebook, just search Who's Talking, or you can also email the studio at sportsradio910.com addressed to Who's Talking. You can call in as well to 345-0910, and tonight that's the best way. I think we've got some computer malfunctioning going on here, so just call the studio here at 345-0910. All of our shows are archived on thesaber.com, and we're looking forward to a big show tonight, Jim.
Absolutely. A lot of guests tonight. Not that we won't take calls, but particularly starting next week with the two-hour show, we want people to call in and ask their questions or give us their comments.
Let's kick it off. I think we have Frank Quayle on the line. And just to give some brief bio, I can remember as a youngster sitting on the hill at Scott Stadium back when the seating was probably closer to, 25,000, 30,000 maybe, and watching Frank just tear up the opposing defenses. I believe he entered UVA in 1966, and I think his big year was 1968. And I believe also that he was named ACC Player of the Year for UVA, which was no small feat when you consider Virginia was only 3-3 in the conference that year. So he must have been quite a standout player to garner that type of recognition.
But 7-3 overall that year.
7-3 overall that year. And what also was very impressive, obviously, was the level of play that Virginia was able to improve so much during his time there. And I think really you could say he sort of set a precedent with his teammates of making Virginia very competitive. So without further ado, let's bring on Frank Quayle. Frank, are you there?
I sure am. Frank and Jim, it's good to speak with you.
Well, good to hear from you, Frank. You know, last year, I think at this time, there was a lot of question marks with regard to the season, who was going to be the starting quarterback, what the coaching status was, and exactly what was going to happen. Things are a little calmer this year, but still a lot of question marks. What do you expect to see starting on Saturday evening?
Well, it certainly is the time of year that everyone is hopeful and, you know, everyone's unbeaten. And there's reason for optimism. I know I've got my fingers crossed. You don't read too many articles about the UVA football team without somewhere in the article comments the cupboard is bare, and so I think the bar has been set pretty low. I look at the two deeps, and particularly the starters, and I think I see a fair amount of talent out there. That on the offensive side of the ball, I think we've got an offensive line that has the potential to be pretty good. We've got a couple of starters who've been doing it for, this is their third year. Last year was sort of a debacle for the offensive line, and and they didn't perform very well, but I think they had some good excuses for it. My hope is that they can come together, because if they don't, you're not going to do very well on the offensive side. I think the wide receivers are going to be better than a year ago. There are a host of potentially good running backs, but you've got that awkward situation that I think the most yards by a returning running back are under 80, and the guy who's going to get the nod to start, Perry Jones, had 9 carries and 9 yards last year. So, you know, statistically, they don't have a whole lot going for them. But I think there's some talent there. And obviously, on offense, the key is the quarterback. And, you know, Mark Verica, a lot of people don't recognize it, but he got off to a remarkable first 5 games. And he ended up leading the conference that year in completions with 63.9%, I think. Things did not go well for him near the end of that year. Throws a lot of interceptions. So there are a lot of question marks around him. But, you know, I think he has the potential to be a pretty fine quarterback. So, yeah, I'm doing a lot of talking, and I'll listen to your questions. But I'm hopeful. I think that things can come together and that this team is going to be better than most people are giving them credit for.
Let's stay with offense for a second there, Frank. I think the consensus is the offensive line has that potential, and they've got a lot of games under their belt, believe it or not. So there's every reason to think that with a stable offensive philosophy and none of this switching back and forth between the spread to the pro to whatever other formation, if the offensive line can get off to a reasonably decent start, don't you think the caliber of the backs and the wide receivers will play into the hands of a fifth-year quarterback like Mark Verica?
Yeah, well, one, I've always believed that your running backs and your quarterback, they're only going to be as good as those guys in front of them. If they, you know, you have a great running back but a poor offensive line, he's not going to put up good numbers. And you have an average running back and an outstanding offensive line, that average running back's going to put up numbers. So they are crucial. I don't think fans give them enough credit, the offensive linemen. And Verica, yeah, he's going to be a product of how well they do protecting him. Last year, I think that we led the conference in allowing sacks, and that's not a good stat, and they've got to do some dramatic improvement in that area.
Well, certainly last year, I would think that with the flip-flopping of the schemes, that had to really confuse the linemen. I think now it's safe to say, you know, with a veteran quarterback who's got quite a number of starts under his belt, he should be able to lend some calmness to the rest of the offensive players. And you've got some veterans back at wide receiver. Dontrell Inman has played forever, it seems like. And Chris Byrd, although he's only, I think, a true sophomore, or is he a redshirt sophomore? You know, Chris showed he's got a lot of poise, and obviously Tim Smith is a deep threat weapon that just needs to be turned loose, and maybe the same can be said for Jarrett Green. Looking at Bill Lazor's comments today, I tuned into his teleconference today. You know, he was asked a lot of questions about the run-pass mix. What do you think will be a good ratio for Virginia, particularly in these early games this year there, Frank?
Yeah, and, of course, you've got the early game, Richmond. Right. And I have to believe they're going to be playing that game as if it's the most important game of the season, and they should. You know, the experiences they've had. They haven't won, I think I have this right, I think you have to go back 5 years since they won on opening day.
2005.
Yeah, 2005.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, I've got to believe that they cannot afford to let a winnable game get away from them. And Richmond's a winnable game if they're going to have any chance for a successful season. They have got to get it done. Now, yeah, maybe that puts some pressure on them, but I think they're going to be taking it seriously. The mix, you keep hearing about Coach London wanting to establish the run, and I understand that. It takes pressure off the quarterback. You're not going to be a real good team if you can't run it for yardage at crunch time, and that's something Virginia the last 2 years has not been able to do. I know there's been an awful lot of emphasis on establishing the running game. So what's the mix? If Virginia was to have a game that you would hope they'd have over a school like Richmond, and that's not to be looked at as a knock on Richmond, but that they'd win 28-7 or something, and they would dominate the line of scrimmage, and therefore they could have a 70-30 run to pass mix. You know, that would, to me, be the ideal scenario.
Frank, I got one quick one. Looking at the depth chart, you know, the 2D, were you surprised that Max Million beat out Terrence Fells-Danzer at fullback? And number two, are you surprised in any way that Tim Smith didn't end up as one of the two starting wide receivers?
Well, I think the easier question is Tim Smith. I always, when I look at the top four receivers, they're going to be on the field a whole lot. Maybe with I'm not sure if we'll see a lot of double tight end formations. But to me, those four guys, they all could be treated as starters. And I think that they're going to be Chris Byrd has the great hands and the patterns that he's going to run to perfection. But Tim Smith and Jared Green are going to add a speed and ability to stretch the defense that you need. So I think they need all four of those guys. And while they've got them listed on the depth chart as one and two, I don't think of it that way. I think they've got four essential starting wide receivers.
Yeah, Frank, you talk. Of course, every coach I ever played for always said the most important game on the schedule is the next one. But you're right. This UR game is particularly important, especially given the start of the Mike London era. We've talked a lot about offense. Let's go to the other side of the football and talk about my friend Jim Reed's defense. What do you expect on the defensive side?
Yeah, well, again, just looking at the names at the different positions, I think the defensive line, those front four, although for whatever reason in my depth chart they've got Matt Conrath backing up John Kevin Dulce, that's a shocker because I thought Conrath did a remarkable job there. But to me, they've got five players on that defensive line that we're familiar with, Zane Parr, the Dulce youngster, Nick Jenkins, Cam Johnson, and Matt Conrath. The other guys, they're young. You know, two redshirt freshmen and a sophomore, Jeremiah Mathis, the redshirt freshman, along with Jake Snyder and Will Hill. I really don't know anything about those three guys. But one of the wonderful things this time of year is you know there are going to be some pleasant surprises, that there are going to be some future stars that are just getting their opportunity to show their stuff. But I'm excited about the potential for that defensive line. I think the defensive backfield could be, if not the best Virginia's had, one of the best defensive backfields. Razai Dowling, I think, is an exceptional ball player. Chase Minifield is not that far behind him, and the safeties, McLeod and Mosley, I think, are exceptional. So Virginia's got to stay healthy. Razai Dowling has had some injury problems. It seems to me he gets nicked and misses games, so you hold your breath. But I think the talent in those two areas make me think Virginia should have a defense equal to or better. But then the big if is the linebackers, where we've got so many new names and faces there. Steve Greer was the one guy we thought was, you know, the returning starter. And they've got him as the number two middle linebacker behind Aaron Taliaferro.
Frank, not to cut you off, but we really appreciate your time, appreciate you joining us, and we will definitely have you back on during the course of the season. As you say, a lot of excitement at the beginning of the season and a lot of anticipation and hope as we move forward. But Frank Quayle, icon of the program, thank you for joining us. We'll go to break right now and come back with Jay James.